Welcome. Should we say that again? Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to another episode
of Error Code Coffee.
Yes.
I almost forgot the name.
But that's not what we're... Man, we always tell each other we shouldn't start like that.
Well, last time we didn't.
No, because you were looking at me for like 10 seconds, staring into my eyes.
The abyss, you mean?
Yes. But...
CSS features.
This is like one of those old episodes where we just drum up a bunch of shit.
They are always, you know, great.
It's more like I'm just going to go on a ramble, and you're just going to listen, okay?
It's not really a rant, I guess, right?
It's so ranty because I will have the stone all the entire episode.
Okay.
Pissed off.
Well, go ahead, I guess.
I'll act normal.
Okay, thank you. Can you?
So, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
We want to talk about CSS features, and it's CSS features that got us excited.
Well, mainly you, I guess, but
I get very excited very quickly.
Yeah, I don't. You need to like.
Here it is. The positivity, the energy. Yes.
Yes.
So the first thing. So it's CSS features that we liked, and the first thing that we liked that came out last year. So these are usually last year. I think most of them are officially out in the last year.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I didn't check them all individually, like on caniuse.com. But
so you might like tease.
I might be giving misinformation. Oh my goodness.
What the fuck?
But you guys can double check which ones are.
Yeah, do it yourself, bitch.
Oh my God. Oh God. This is like one of those old episodes.
Yeah, I came in hot. I'm sorry.
Be respectful to our listeners, man. Okay, we only have one.
you're correct. I'm sorry, single person.
So the first one is container queries.
Ooh. I'm trying to be excited, you know.
You're ruining this. I thought you were gonna. You needed convincing, and now you're. Fuck you, man.
All right. I'll dial back.
Okay. Container queries.
Whoa. Think. Wait, what's dude, that? What's that? Tell me more.
Think about it.
Huh?
Query.
I'm really trying.
I can't. So the first thing is container queries. Queries, when we speak about queries in CSS,
mm-hmm.
What do you think of?
Media queries.
There you go, sir. Media queries. And now we have container queries. So that's the difference.
The fuck does
enjoy.
It mean?
That's episode.
That's wait. Okay. So I haven't read what it is right now. But
what do you think it is?
Let me think. Instead of like being bound to like global sizes for the queries, it's bound to a container.
Yes, you're correct, sir. You win nothing. But the container.
Always. I always join these like questions and then I never get anything.
Nobody asked you anything.
Okay, good point.
So, for example, you normally have like your browser's viewport width.
Yes.
Like, what's it called usually? Is it viewport?
Yes.
And then like max width 600 or something.
Yeah, or 100 VW, I guess.
Yeah. You could add selectors in there, right? You could select an element inside the media query and then adjust some of the properties.
Yeah, but it's always from like the top of the document to downwards. Like, so you're always using the query for the window and nothing else.
Exactly. And sometimes it's fine, but that's if you want to, you know, keep track of how everything looks depending on the viewport width or height or whatever. And I think it makes sense in that way if you're using static, like a static design.
Sure.
But a lot of times your design has to be flexible and dynamic and fluid. Mm-hmm. So in some situations, I've had this a lot where, I'm using like, I don't know, 1920, 1280, 960, 720, these breakpoints.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an element that doesn't work. For like 720p, I have to break it between 960 and 720.
Yeah.
So I add a new breakpoint, like 825.
Whoop-de-doo, another thing to keep track of.
Yep. And I was like, I have to define that. And now it's in between the other breakpoint. So how do I call it?
Only going to use it for that one specific element.
Yep. Usually it's like the main navigation.
Yeah.
When you have like horizontal items, mm-hmm. menu items, and they don't fit when you scale your browser down, but you don't want to go to mobile mm-hmm. design yet.
You're not yet ready for that? Yeah.
Yes, I'm not ready for that.
No.
So what do? You have container queries. Now you can check if the container has a specific width.
Wow.
And you can be very specific like that, right? Because if your container resizes and your items don't fit anymore, it's bound to that specific container. So you don't have to create a global breakpoint. You mm-hmm. create a breakpoint in your SCSS or whatever the hell you're using.
Uh-huh.
It went. And then
what?
You can keep that as a variable inside your component.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
And now you can use that, like your main navigation is now reaching 825 and you can have a breakpoint there.
Wow. You know, it would be great. Maybe that already is possible, I guess. But if you can do media queries, or not media queries, I guess, but you can do queries depending on the size of the parent without defining a size necessarily.
Yes, that's a cool one. And I don't think that's possible yet.
Yeah, but that might be the next evolutionary step in this, maybe. I don't know. Because it's also kind of difficult, right?
It doesn't make sense in a way that you use queries nowadays.
Yeah. But let's just say, like, if you have an image, for example, that mm-hmm. is a fixed size, you know, mm-hmm. as soon as you're trying to scale down and it suddenly doesn't fit anymore, for example, because it has a fixed width, it would be kind of nice if something triggers that knows that, oh, now it doesn't fit, so let's change the layout, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
It might be a bit too far.
It's an interesting... I've always wanted that as well, just for layout purposes. So like, if it doesn't fit anymore, then do this, right?
Yeah.
But we have Flexbox.
Yeah. And also, like, it's kind of nice to have that control, right? Because if you don't, then you have a lot of variables that can go wrong.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Maybe we should research this, but mm-hmm. It can come in really handy. But I also think with Grid and Flexbox, you can get really similar results as what you want.
Yeah.
Because they have automatic repositioning nowadays.
Yeah.
That's something I still want to try to do, is like create completely dynamic interfaces without media queries.
Whoa.
That's possible, actually. It's really cool. And it's like, it depends on the layouts you give your grid.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look into it one day.
Okay.
And maybe we can do an episode about it.
Wow.
Number two.
Well, wait, just a second. Oh. You may be excited about container queries, so that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah,
next one.
Number two, new viewport units.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, I don't know if you've ever developed anything for the mobile devices.
Oh, yes.
And have you ever noticed that if you use 100VH?
Oh, yes.
For example, your hero or your header, whatever you want to call it, like mm-hmm. your first section of your website, usually it's like a full screen image mm-hmm. or like as much as full screen as possible, at least on mobile. And then you have like a title and you have a button. And then you have like min width 100VH.
Mm-hmm.
Min height. Don't use height, you sons of bitches. If the title's too big, it will get out of the container.
Yeah.
Use min height.
That's something I still see a lot happening, you know, overflow issues.
Yes.
I don't know why, because it's been such a, you know, everyone knows how to fix that.
Also, if you're using Flex to center your items, don't use align item center. Justify content center, justify item center. Don't use those two.
Uh-huh.
Pick up your centered item and do margin auto. Otherwise, if it gets too small within your viewport, it will be outside your viewport.
What?
Yes. Like, for example, a modal that uh-huh. you can't close anymore because they use justify and align items. And on a mobile, the cross, like the close button is
uh-huh.
outside your viewport because it's closed behind. It doesn't know how to do that. Use margin auto.
So that's the main problem I always have with, you know, that's what this is trying to solve, the new viewport units, right? Because with modals, what a lot of times happens is that you use like, VH, I guess.
Yeah.
And then indeed you scroll, and then at first it's fine because those, you know, navigation elements are not visible. But then you scroll back up and it suddenly reappears from the bottom and the top. And then it's like, what? Half of my modal is gone, or like the close button is behind my navigation or whatever.
That can happen, but that's a different issue though.
Oh.
Like what I described before was a different issue.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, this can happen as well.
I've had this problem before.
Yes. This can happen as well. Even though if you used min height and margin auto, you wouldn't have that because it would it would jump down. That's the thing. So it's a bit complicated. Now that you added this goddamn anecdote, it's hard to explain it now.
All right, I'm sorry. Let's rewind.
Yeah, let's rewind. The new viewport units. Uh-huh. So what are viewports used for? Like the units. Usually it's like VH.
VW?
Yes, VW. So viewport width, viewport height,
mm-hmm.
right? And you, that's like a percentage of your viewport of your browser or your, well, on your phone, it's your browser, but sometimes it's full screen, sometimes it's not.
Yep.
And that's where the new viewport units come in handy because navigation interface of your browser, in some browsers, it counts as part of your viewport, and in others, it doesn't.
Yeah, because I think the main, I don't know how it's with Android right now, but the main problem always used to be iOS, because for some reason, someone at Apple decided that the navigation and the bottom navigation don't count for the viewport height, or they do.
I don't know. Because yeah. 100 VH changes depending on the scroll.
Yes.
So the unit stays the same. You would type 100 VH,
mm-hmm.
and when you first land on the website and you don't have an address bar
mm-hmm.
and like the navigation bar at the bottom, it will be a full screen
yeah.
height. But start scrolling and you get the address bar and you get the navigation bar. Guess what? Your 100 VH is now, I don't know, 100 pixels smaller. So your elements that depend on that unit will start to adjust their size.
Yeah.
And your scroll position on the page will be different. It will suddenly be higher or lower depending on if you scroll up or down.
A lot of fun.
And I've had this a lot. And I don't know if it's out yet. Check caniuse.com. But nowadays, we got a small viewport, a large viewport, and dynamic viewport as units. So respectively,
yeah,
SVH, SVW for small viewport. So you just put an S before the VH and VW.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that's the thing. We used to just have VH and VW, mm-hmm. and now you just prefix it with S, L, or D, depending on if you want to use small, large, or dynamic.
It looks like it works with all the latest browsers.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Start making use of this if you use VH for your layout, please.
Yes.
Or VW. So what does the small viewport unit do, SVH, SVW?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I like the terminology necessarily, but I don't know what else you would call it. So let's just, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, this is also, we're looking at a blog here. It's not an official documentation of every browser.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on MDN, it's a better
explanation. Like,
explanation, but the definition of small viewport, large viewport will be the same,
yeah.
right? Because it's the abbreviation
yeah.
that is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So a small viewport takes the address bar and the toolbar into consideration. So the smallest size of your viewport. So with all the clutter on the interface
mm-hmm.
visible. And I think you kind of want that for a lot of layout.
So even when it's not visible, it will still count.
Yes.
Okay.
It will take it into consideration. It already knows how small it's going to get.
Okay.
So I think you want to use this one a lot.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of interfaces, you don't want to exceed the possible viewport.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is like 50% of the time when the user is scrolling, the toolbar and the address bar is visible, then you want to use that instead of something bigger because you might get some interface issues.
Yeah.
Then we have large viewport. So that one makes sense. Doesn't take the address bar and the toolbar into consideration. So that's literally what you expected VH, the regular VH, to be doing.
Yeah. So I don't know what's the point then of this, but...
Well, VH is dynamic.
Uh-huh.
Right? VH yes. changes. And I guess now they have DVH and DVW to specify that it is the dynamic.
Right.
So... I think VH and VW are still available.
But they will probably get, how do you call that, deprecated.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But in this case, we have three new units that can be very specific.
All
what
right.
What you want to use.
Nice.
It's important to know that these units don't take into account the scroll bar. So depending on the situation, you might want to use one unit value over the other, or just another unit than the viewport.
I hope so. It's kind of interesting that they don't take into account the scroll bar.
Yeah. It used to be a big issue. Nowadays, it's...
Yeah, it's less probably, but...
Yeah, you have these like overlay scroll bars.
Hmm.
But yeah, like it still is a problem mm-hmm. if you use 100 VW,
yeah.
right? Because if you have a scroll bar, because your page is longer than your viewport,
mm-hmm.
so you have a vertical scroll bar, 100 VW includes the scroll bar.
Yeah.
So if you have a component, like a div, it will be behind the scroll bar.
Yeah.
So what happens then? It will create a horizontal scroll bar.
Beautiful.
So you should be careful with that.
And don't forget to use overflow properly.
That yes.
also solves a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm. Overflow hidden. Okay, that was number two. Number three, CSS nesting? Next thing? Oh my God, next.
Yes. It's happening.
CSS nesting.
Yes.
Don't we have that already? No. We don't have that. We have SCSS.
Yeah, not natively.
Yep. No. With CSS preprocessors like Sass and Less, we can nest CSS styles
mm-hmm.
Within each other. You can like put I don't know, header, and then inside it you can do menu item or mm-hmm. something. But that's not available
yeah.
by default natively.
It kind of messes a bit with my head how the way they write it, yes. or they expect you to write, to be honest.
Yes and no. I think.
Yeah.
I think they made it very, very specific, right?
Yeah.
Because so the syntax is ampersand, and then, so you have like, let's do parent block.
Mm-hmm.
You have one div called parent block in the class.
Mm-hmm.
So parent block, and you open the curly bracket, and then you define all the properties there. You want to have a child selected from that parent block.
Yeah.
You have to use ampersand, and then the class name.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And
the ampersand and a space between the
yes.
class name.
That's, I don't think it's possible without a space.
That's what kind of messes me up. But
why?
Because normally when you use ampersand in Sass without a space, it means that it's another class on top yes. of the older one.
Yes. It's like what's it called again?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
it connects the two strings. What's the word? Give me.
I don't know.
Concatenates.
Oh, concatenates.
Ooh. The previous class, like the parent class, with the class you're defining. So ampersand, usually we use this in BEM for modifiers.
Mm-hmm.
Ampersand dash dash and then the modifier name, like ampersand dash dash active, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that is if you don't add the space. If you add a space, it works exactly the same as how it's defined here.
Yeah.
So yes and no. Yes, it messes with our heads because we usually don't use ampersand and then a dot because it becomes more specific
yeah.
on one hand in your code, but it still does the same thing when it renders. When it compiles, if you add an ampersand or don't, it doesn't matter for Sass.
Hmm.
It will still compile as parent block dot child block.
Yes.
So it looks the exact same, but we usually don't use ampersand
yeah.
in this situation.
In this situation, in Sass. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it.
Yeah.
You can now use nesting, very basic nesting. I don't know
very
how.
Very basic, yeah.
Like you can't use complex like loops or
I am kind of curious, like how would you apply another class on top of an existing class already? Like if you want to add a
yeah, you can't
modifying class, you still have to write it like
in I'm pretty sure
in a separate line because yeah.
I mean we can do live Googling.
Oh my God.
Let's see. 8 months ago, blah blah blah.
I mean, still, it's cool, I guess. It's
actually let's try to do it here, just on a website. Let's try to do the Sass way of, you know, adding a modifier. Maybe yeah. it is possible.
It just it feels like it's a bit too late for CSS to.
No, it's never too late. You want to go native? You want to have less dependencies?
Yeah, I mean, I know, I know. It's just And what I want to say is like, well, took them long enough. I mean, holy shit. How long ago have we started using SAS?
It's a complex.
Or less even.
Yes. I also hate that it took so long. That's true.
I mean, geez. I get it. The web is kind of weird, you know?
I don't think you can do this in your development toolbar.
Hmm.
I don't think, unless you somehow have a... That's what we could do. We could create a little style tag. Wow. Right?
I had to look it up, but Les is 15 years old.
Oh my God.
Yeah, now I feel old too.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Les is like very old, actually.
Yes.
Yep, yep.
Wow. Wait, 5 months ago there was another release?
Yeah, they keep updating it.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised that people still use Les, I guess.
Yeah, people are using it less and less, though.
Oh. Okay. Okay, this guy.
Okay.
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 Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, now, less.
Let me see if I can do this. So I changed, I added a style tag,
mm-hmm.
and I did the ---
Yes.
And I did ampersand, like I nested it inside another one.
Uh-huh.
And --- red. It's not how you use modifiers, but I want to just see if I add the same class,
mm-hmm.
but with a... So, for example, what do I have here?
I don't know. I can't see it.
No. I know. I'm doing... So, it's like button. Mm-hmm. It's a button class. And yeah. I'm doing... It's nested now inside it, --- red.
Okay.
So, if that button class...
No space.
No space.
Okay.
So, if that button class gets another button class with --- red,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Will it work? Exciting stuff over here. Ooh.
Oh.
It doesn't sound like it works.
I don't think so.
Did you just... Wait,
maybe it's because the style tag is all the way at the bottom. Maybe it has to be above it. Otherwise, it doesn't work on it. Isn't that how cascading style sheets work?
Cascading what?
Style sheets.
I know, I'm kidding.
Excuse me? Anyway... Maybe that's a good exercise. Go check it out yourself. See what the limits are.
Yes.
I don't know if it works. Honestly, I have no clue.
I'm also going to try something in just CodePen, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. CodePen would be a better option.
Yeah, I think that's easier. Okay. I'm just going to also make a button and button.
Yeah. I don't think it works, though. Okay. You keep doing that. I go to the next step.
Okay.
Okay.
Exciting stuff.
Actually, wait. When do we use it, though, this stuff? You had a good point. Like, if you're not using SCSS,
yeah,
then it's definitely use it. But, yeah, I think if you're using SCSS, I don't think you want to use this anymore. I mean, it's the same syntax, kind of, but you don't use ampersands to nest things in SCSS. You don't need to.
No, that's, like, the thing, right? That's...
No, that's not the thing about SCSS.
No, of course not. I mean, but it's like, it is one of the, you know, selling points. Let's just say that.
That you don't use ampersand to nest things?
No, that you can nest things.
Yes.
Just in general, you know?
What the fuck? Hey, listen, I'm trying to define why
I'm sorry. I have to say, like, typing and talking at the same time is kind of difficult.
Also listening while I'm not doing anything else.
Yes.
It's also difficult. Okay.
Okay, so I've tried it and it doesn't work.
Yeah,
so
I don't think it works.
No. Well, I'm a sad boy now.
Yep. So you can't use it to concatenate the parent class name with another piece of text, like a string. So normally in SCSS, for example, when we use BEM to name things and add modifiers to class names, so you'd have a button active, for example, or whatever, you would nest this current thing that I'm going to describe, --, curly bracket, and then you would add, for example, a background color that's lighter or something.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. That's sad. So it's still missing features, things that we take for granted when we use SCSS.
Yeah.
And things that we would love to see in CSS. I would love to see all these features just implemented in regular CSS.
Yes, me too.
So we don't have to use...
But again, it also feels like it's, you know, it's a bit too late.
But what do you mean too late? If SCSS finally...
It's too slow, let's just say that.
No, but listen, if SCSS finally just becomes native in your browser,
yes.
What do you mean too late? I would love that. I wouldn't install fucking SAS, Node SAS anymore in my packages.
So I'm not sure if this is like CodePen related, but I try to nest without using the ampersand, and that also works.
Are you using SCSS in your...
Nope, it's turned off.
Wait, what?
Yes, so I'm kind of confused, to be honest.
Does that work too?
Yep.
Nesting CSS. Let's see on MDN. This is it. We're on the frontier here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it works without.
So what's the point of the ampersand then?
Without nesting selector and with nesting selector. It just works.
It just works.
It just works.
Okay, so now I'm a little bit happier again.
Yes. But I'm not sure why. What does that mean? Is it more specific with ampersand? No.
I
it can't be, because it just means the parent and the child has to be in the same. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's go to the next.
Yeah, exactly. You know what it sounds like? We didn't research this.
You know what it sounds like? The blog post we took this from didn't research this.
Yes, always blame someone else.
But it's true. They only have one example, and it's with the ampersand.
You are right. You are, yes.
I should have done more research, though. So without the ampersand, it also works. Nice.
Nice. So they say on the MDN page, when joining selectors together, such as compound selectors or pseudo-classes, you can use the ampersand. So the ampersand is not mandatory,
mm-hmm.
but if you want to use compound selectors.
What's a compound selector?
What's a compound selector? When you apply multiple classes onto the same element. And so let's just say you have the class button.
Oh,
you have the class.
So that is for modifiers.
Yes, but it doesn't work in the SAS way where you can just do ampersand
yes.
and just the modifier, I guess.
So you have to write the whole.
Yes. Ah. So you can do ampersand dot button dot okay. Dash dash red.
But hey, that's not bad. That means that we get two functions.
Yes.
We get the regular nesting and we get the
yes.
compound selector.
So without ampersand, you can select a child in yeah. an element. And with the ampersand, it's a pseudo compound selector.
Yeah, it's a compound selector.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So I never used to do that, but sometimes I actually do write the whole thing out, especially when I separate them, but then you don't need nesting anymore.
Yeah, so I remember it kind of, well, I don't know. I've always liked with BAM and SAS to write it out completely, but you would not even
know
put
why?
It, you would not even put it into the parent, I guess. You would just
yeah.
put it. Yeah.
That's, but you remember why you did that? There's a reason we did that.
For readability, I wrote the whole thing instead.
I don't think that's the only reason.
That's what I did, at least, because you can, a lot of people did only like dash yeah. dash red, yes. for example. And then if you're searching for the class button dash dash red,
yeah.
it was very hard to find because. Yeah. Well, you look into your HTML file
yep.
and you saw button dash dash red, but you don't know.
Yeah, it would be ampersand dash dash red.
Yeah, and if you were searching for dash dash red,
yeah.
I mean, there might be multiple elements that were dash yeah. dash red. I mean, it's
I see what you're saying.
A small thing. But
for me, I have to like dig deeper. I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it had to do with specificity as well.
Specificity. Yeah,
I think having them separately mm-hmm. creates a cleaner specificity.
Well, you remove the specificity, yes, that you would get when you were nesting.
No, like this is the thing. If you're nesting only the compound selector in one
mm-hmm.
item, right,
mm-hmm.
you would not lose anything. It would be the same.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're nesting the parent item into another item,
yes.
and then you're using compound selectors,
uh-huh.
then you have a specific compound selector that only works in that parent.
Huh.
So that's when I used to separate them. So if you have an item within an item that has modifiers, then you separate them.
Yeah.
But if you have an item on its own and it only has its own modifiers, then it's not a huge difference.
Yeah.
Only if you're doing like a global search.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think it's more about that for me, like to remove that specificity.
All right.
Because I sometimes want that modifier just globally anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's a good modifier. Anyway.
Just two more things why they say you should use the ampersand.
Okay.
Or when you should use the ampersand. So it's for backwards compatibility, apparently.
Makes sense.
I don't know which specific browsers use the ampersand, I guess.
Yeah, IE 11.
and they also say as a visual indicator to aid with readability.
Yeah, okay.
So when you see the ampersand, you know that CSS nesting is being used.
No, but I thought ampersand specifically defines a compound selector.
No, but you're allowed to nest with or without the ampersand.
Yeah, but does it look without?
Well, just regular, like in SAS.
No, I mean, okay, but how does it look with? Isn't it then automatically a compound selector? How can you nest with an ampersand? Isn't it then a compound selector?
No, when you put the space.
So you can't, so if you don't put a space, it's a compound selector?
Yes.
What? Okay, that was not defined by
you. Wait, is that correct? That is correct, yeah.
So if you, okay.
Ampersand dot a button dash okay, dash
that
red.
Is the same as SAS though.
Yes.
No,
it's not.
Well, if you add a dot, then it automatically becomes a nested in SAS. Does it?
But it does in CSS too now.
If you add a dot, no. If you add a space,
if you don't have an ampersand, you can do ampersand and a space, and that's the same as no ampersand.
Okay. I see.
And then if you do an ampersand with no space, then it's a compound.
Yeah, but in CSS and in SAS, if you do ampersand, no space, with a dot. Then it's not a compound anymore. You don't need a space to be nested.
No.
You just need a dot.
Yes.
If you remove the dot, then it becomes a compound. And you can't have spaces, obviously. So it's a bit more convoluted.
Yes.
If you're used to SAS, just try out.
Why I'm I don't know why, but why I'm struggling. Because it's like almost the same, but it's not.
No.
And then it's like kind of mixing it up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The biggest reason is because you always need a dot in nesting in regular CSS. Whether you're using an ampersand or not, you always need a dot to define the whole class.
Yeah.
And in SCSS, you don't need a dot to define class. You can just remove the space, use an ampersand, and then it becomes a compound selector.
Yes.
So there's a bit of difference there. You have to get used to that.
I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's good enough to use.
It's something.
Yeah. But again, no loops or anything. So I think if you want to use
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also a big selling point of less and SCSS.
Yep. I like to use my loops sometimes.
Even though.
Makes sense.
No one uses them anymore with Tailwind, I guess, but that's
true.
Another story.
Yeah. But like Mixins for media queries and...
Yes.
And like...
I was a huge fan of placehold selectors. And
yes.
I'm kind of sad about that too, but we know.
Yep. Well, that's you, sad boy.
Yeah, it's a sad boy.
Anyway.
I just love placehold selectors.
Okay, the fourth point that I want to talk about is the gap property from Flexbox. I know, you've been using this. I've been using this.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh,
not you, you. Anyway.
Feel threatened, but...
I think a lot of developers, CSS developers, don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
They think gap is specifically for grid. That's where it came from originally. Remember?
I do.
But gap works for Flexbox now.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So what does it do? It just creates a space between items. So, for example, you have a menu. You want to vertically center them. Like, you want to have them in the middle of your header bar.
Mm.
You have a main navigation in the center of your header bar. So you do align item center. You could, but you should use margin auto. Margin.
Yes.
Anyway, if you do that, that's one step. The next step is to have your items separated from each other. Normally, like a long time ago, we used to have like child plus child margin left, for example, 1 rem.
Uh-huh.
Right? You would have like sibling selectors.
Yes.
Or you would just use margin right 1 rem and then last child margin right 0 to remove that margin from the last element. Mm-hmm. You used to always have to have something to select the last child or not select it to create even spacing between elements.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, I do, sadly.
But guess what? Flex can use gap and it automatically adds spacing between all of them.
Whoa.
All the items without having to deal with the last element.
It's like we're living in the future.
But it's kind of nice. It makes your life a lot easier. You can just define the spacing on the parent element where it should be in the first place. Because the layout is defined by the parent. It should be. Like if you use flex, then the layout of the container is defined by the flex. Mm. So you're separating the concern there as well. Like where's the spacing of my items? In the layout definition.
Great.
I love that.
Yes.
So use gap and stop using margin right on the nth child, whatever the hell.
Whatever.
Yep. Where are we now? Fifth point?
Four.
No, we talked about gap.
No, four is... what?
No, I'm reading... Oh my God, don't read the blog post on its own.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Listen, I removed a few because some of them are boring.
Okay.
We don't get excited about everything, okay? We're not that hungry.
Are you not excited about individual transform properties?
Fine, that's pretty cool. But it's not that exciting.
No, it's not exciting. It reduces a lot of shit.
So I was double checking this, right? So, okay, let's talk about individual transform properties. Okay,
quickly.
Quickly. Normally when you do like transitions and you want to only transition one thing.
You mean transform?
You can use transforms without transition, but that's kind of weird. A lot of times you want to use transform including transition.
Yeah.
So like, for example, the scale of a button, you want to make it bigger.
Yeah.
You don't want it to boop, immediately like pop. You want it to transition. So that's why I said transition. But yes, this update is about the transform property. The transform property, usually you have to like define something specific, like the translate X, you want to start with like, I don't know, 50%. And you also want to scale it down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing you want to do on hover is scale it back up.
Yeah, you only want to change the scale property.
You have to keep track of that translate X 50%.
Yeah, because if you would remove the translate X and rotate, for example, from your transform, then they would be gone.
Like, yeah, it would go back to translate X 0 automatically. It would, because the transform property is the property for all the other properties inside. Yes. So translate, rotate, scale. There's skew, there's other few things. Yeah. But it used to be a bit annoying when you're trying to transition between a few things.
Well, unless you used SCSS.
Yes and no. Yes.
Because then you could do transform and do the brackets and just do, I don't know.
That doesn't work.
Well, it does.
No.
Yeah.
Because it will still go back to zero. You're redefining the transform.
Wait, is that true?
Yes.
I haven't used CSS for...
It doesn't work like that.
Huh, interesting.
You will still have to keep track of all those other properties.
All right.
If you want to keep it in the same spot.
So one point for CSS.
Yes, this is great. This is like a win for everyone, even for if you're using JavaScript for animation, right? Some people do that with like objects to define the the values of the CSS properties.
Uh-huh.
This is really great because... Normally, you would have to keep track of all the properties you've once touched.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe it, like a dirty property.
Yeah.
So if you touch the translate and it's not default zero, then you have to keep that unless you want to bring it back to zero or animate it.
Yeah. But
if you, so any of those things, scale, skew, transform, rotate, all those things, you have to keep track of them. But now with individual transform properties, you can just like define the property that you want to change. So scale has its own property. It kind of looks weird to me.
Yeah, it does too. But I think that's like because you're used to transform.
I'm used to like the parentheses around the values. You know, like scale parentheses.
Yes,
it's like a function.
Yeah,
and now it's like a definition.
Huh.
Right. So you can just use scale colon and then a value. It's the same value as you used before, is between 0 and 1. Mm. Or actually, you can have negative as well.
Yeah,
so you can use how does translate X look? Does it, is it with a dash?
Oh,
yeah. I'm curious.
That's a good question.
So yeah, look into it a bit. You yourself as a listener too, check out how the new transform properties are individually defined. So now you don't have to keep track of them.
Just wow.
Define the scale once and it will remember that, because you're not defining the whole transform property. You're just going to adjust the rotation in the next hover.
So I don't see it translate Y and X yet. Maybe it does exist, but
when you, I don't know if they will be here.
You just do translate and then you have two values that you have to enter. So the makes X and sense. The Y property. So, but that means that I'm curious though, and not curious because it will probably not work, but if you want to change only the X or the Y, you still have to add the old one, the old value.
It sounds like it.
So it's like half a solution.
And for the transform, yes. And what about translate? Also, don't you have like scale X and scale Y and skew X, skew Y? Yes, you do.
I don't see that here, though.
Yeah, but you do have them. Huh. In transform. So there are some properties that are probably missing.
Hmm.
Like specific properties for scaling only the X and Y in the X and Y axis.
Interesting.
We'll look into that, but you should also look into that. It's a cool, exciting new update.
Yes.
I think it's healthy to keep changing the way we write things, because it's fucking annoying.
Keeps developers on their toes, right?
That too. Yeah, we get paid more for knowing less.
Yes. Fun.
Yep. Okay. Five. Last one I want to talk about.
All right.
Okay?
Do it.
Okay. The has selector. Where is it? So what does the has selector do? Don't we already have that a bit?
Yeah.
Where do we have that? No, we don't.
Don't we?
No. We normally have... I did use it once.
Huh.
But I think we normally have... what's it called when you hover inside something?
Yeah, focus or hover within.
Yeah. I think I'm mixing those two with this.
Yeah.
Because it kind of is the same.
Mm, yeah.
But not really. Because focus... So focus within, you don't have to define what gets focused within, right? Mm-hmm. It's just... Or hover within. It's just anything that's inside here that is... hovered on.
Yeah.
Right. You don't define a class anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with has, it's not about state change of your element with a hover or anything. It's about more specificity.
Oh, there's the word again.
Yes. Specificity. Yeah. So for example, let's say you have a div and you want to select that div. You wanna, for example, I don't know, have a nice border around a div that has a title inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Only if it has a title inside it.
Yeah.
How do you do that normally? You can't. With CSS, you cannot know what is going to be the child of it and then select the parent.
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, how would you do this with SCSS?
You can't.
No, because I kept... No.
No, you can't.
I was trying to think, like, if you do ampersand behind... the class name.
It's still a sibling.
Yeah, but then you apply the styling to the sibling and not to the parent. So, yeah.
Yep. And you're still, in all the cases previously in CSS, it was always about siblings.
Yeah.
It could
be top to bottom.
Yes. And it could be about, like, you could talk about the parent, but it's always like the parent cascades down.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you use the ampersands, mm-hmm. without the ampersand, actually, to nest things.
Oh, yeah.
You're always choosing or selecting the element that's deepest.
Yeah.
So when you nest something, you can't say, okay, once this is inside my parent, I want my parent to be different. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
It never existed before. And it was always a thing about, like, they used to say, yeah, it's performance heavy to do this and that. And I was like, no. It depends on how you implement it. And I think they found a way.
Finally. It took them a while.
It kind of works backwards. Instead of thinking if this child exists inside a parent.
Then the parent, yeah.
Yeah, it's more like if my parent has this element, mm-hmm. which is actually a really good way to do it because then you're still having the top to bottom logic and it's very specific. It's you cannot have like overly complex situations where the browser has to calculate how the children are from the parent, like how far they are and stuff like that. It's just if my parent has this element or this class as a child.
Yeah.
That's it. And you remember the, what is it?
Yeah, I'm thinking like with SCSS, like they, for example, show you that you can use the plus and the, how do you call the thing? Bracket? No, it's not a bracket. Oh, man. I don't know what it's called. But you can select direct childs and, directly followed by, for example, an element. But I'm trying to think, like, isn't there a way to do this with SCSS without, without the has selector?
Yes. If you just, in this case, the last example is kind of weird. I don't know why they show that, but
so they have an example like H1 colon has, and then between brackets plus P.
Yeah.
So what it means, you select the H1.
Yeah, but these examples are really bad.
We already
like with the previous with the ampersand issue we had with the nesting was also because they didn't finish it.
Yeah, maybe we should not use this example as fact.
Yeah, let's see. So on MDN, the has selector. Let's just the functional has CSS pseudo class.
Uh-huh.
Represents an element if any of the relative selectors that are passed as an argument match at least one element when anchored against this element. That's a mouthful. This pseudo class presents a way of selecting a parent element or a previous sibling element with respect to a reference element by taking a relative selector list as an argument. And this is the point. Previous sibling element.
Mm-hmm.
So normally if you do plus, so like for example, A plus B, you will select
B.
B.
Yeah.
But now you can select A by doing A has plus B.
Yeah.
And you can also use it for nested elements. That's the cool thing about it. You can select like, let me see if I'm right actually.
No, I think you are.
So it doesn't matter. Because the definition said any of the relative selectors that are passed as an argument match at least one element when anchored against this element. Anchored against, what does that mean?
I don't know. If I look in the example, it is what we say it is. So
okay.
So if you do H1 has plus P, it will apply the styling you put there to the H1.
Yes. But can you also do div has P?
Yeah.
And then it selects a div as a parent.
Yeah. I mean,
is there an example? I haven't seen an example like that. Time for code pen.
Oh boy.
I didn't see a single example where there's a nested.
Oh, that's what you want to.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because has, doesn't that sound like it contains something?
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
And also it says, with the feature above, we have a way to select a particular child element from a selector.
Maybe this needs more research.
And then we can apply styles by checking if a parent element contains specific children. That's what the blog says. And then they have zero examples that show that.
Yeah.
What is this?
What is this?
No, but seriously, what is this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you try it out real quick?
Yeah, but I don't really understand what you want from me.
Just selecting a parent element based on what child they have.
Okay.
So like div, and within the div you have a P, and only select the div that has a child element with a P.
Let's see. Div has P. And then I'll make another div just to make sure.
And then the div with P has like a border red or something. Border color red.
No, I just entered some text called no P. Yeah, so it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have div colon has between brackets p, and in the div that has a p is red.
That's really cool. That's amazing. I've always wanted this, because now you don't have to use pre-processing logic where you check the content.
But I am kind of curious if you, let's see, I'm gonna try something, because okay. I want to also use or integrate the child selector.
Yes.
In this whole thing. Like if I, let's see.
Here it is.
So I select div and I say, if it has a span, and then I'm going to try and change the, wait, it should be the other way around. I'm going to create a paragraph in there with a span inside it. And then if the P is in the in the div, I'm going to change the span styling. You get what I mean?
Yes. Yes. A child selector within the has pseudo class selector.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Let's see. Oh my God. It works.
Dude, aren't you excited? Okay. God damn it.
Okay. Let's see. Span. And then, I don't know, color blue. No, wait, that's not,
see blue?
No, it's because I made the background red. So that's kind of, wait.
Maybe make tomato.
I'm going to make the background color blue and the color of the text white.
If it works, I'll be so happy for you.
I think I have some bad news.
Don't tell me it doesn't work.
Oh, wait.
I think you just mistyped it.
Yep, I mistyped it. It works.
Oh, yes, dude.
So if the parent div has a P in it, I can select the child inside the P to do something.
But you can also select the parent.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes. So right now I have styling on the div and the span, but nothing on the P, even though I select the P.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's still possible without nesting and stuff. The example you gave, I'm more curious about if you can do a nested has.
A has in a has?
Yes.
All right, let me try.
So select the
Wait, how does that work? If there's a span inside the P, the paragraph?
Yeah.
I want to change.
That should work as well. Why not?
Yeah, it should.
Yeah. So you can do every combination.
I'm going to just nest deeper. See how far we can go.
Deep nesting with...
I mean, this doesn't make any sense. You should not do this, I think, but whatever.
Hey, at least you're doing something.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's something, I guess. All right. So div has paragraph.
Okay.
Then I have a child selector in there for the span. Okay. And then I'm going to say span has anchor. And if that's true, I'll change the anchor color to white. No, the span color to white. But that doesn't work.
What?
Yeah, it doesn't apply properly, sadly.
I'll have to look into this. But hey, I'm getting excited.
I'm getting excited. Well, I'm happy for you, I guess.
Well, you should be happy for all us developers. Anyway, I think I want to wrap it up here.
Yes, I think that's probably for the better.
Yep. At least I hope I made you excited, dear listeners.
That's something.
Go check it out. Go Google just like new CSS features 2023. Read some blog posts, but also check MDN to double check, because some of the blog posts are missing some key information.
Yes.
And you don't want to be that guy.
Oh wait, it does work. There you go.
I'll see you guys later. This guy.
It works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think you have some kind of issues with your thingies.
No. It was the problem that I was trying to change the color of the span while there's an anchor in there, but the anchor has by default the blue purple color, so I couldn't override the anchor color with the span color.
True.
And that makes sense.
Specificity.
Yep. So there you go. CSS for you. All right.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, it works. Go make some websites and make your mom proud.
Yeah, and use these properties.
Yes.
And functions and features. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.